knows all about it. He knows the God. He gives you.
Here's the door, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is on.
Can you hear me now?
Acts. The book of Acts. Second chapter. Amen.
Amen.
Second chapter, the first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein he were born? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Father, again, as we come to you, Father, we are so empty. And Lord, we know nothing. We just depend upon you, Father, to deliver the message here this morning. Would you hide me, Father? But use me. We ask you, O God, that the word might go forward, that it would accomplish this morning, Lord, that which you would have. We ask you, Father, just to touch each heart here. And let us open our hearts and hear with the spiritual ear, Lord, that which you have for us. That we might be able, Father, just to stand up and proclaim your holy name. For it's in his precious name that we ask you. And amen. One of the portions of scriptures in the Bible that has probably been discussed more than any other, that has probably been misinterpreted, misused by more peoples, probably, than any other, but probably one of the most important scriptures in the Bible for us to hear. It says, the day of Pentecost, it seems that this was like the feast that was going on there. It was the feast that they held once a year. And the whole nations all around come to this feast. They came and to enjoy, to fellowship, to get closer to God. It was a part of a communion with God. And this was like 40 days after his ascension. But Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, he gave some instruction. We had prophecies, as I read to you earlier, in the book of Joel, how he prophesied that in the last days there would be a pouring out of the Holy Spirit. He didn't fully understand it back then, and probably we don't fully understand it yet today, of exactly what happened there in that upper room. But we read these words, and we read there as had been prophesied. And if you read back, and you remember the occasion well when John the Baptist was baptizing there in the River Jordan. He was baptizing these peoples unto repentance. Repentance. But he made a statement right there that he said there was one coming after him who would baptize with the Spirit and with fire. Well, folks, those three parts are necessary. Repentance and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the baptism by fire. I read in some commentaries where some say that this was not fire, that this was not the fire that he was talking about. I disagree with that. Because when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, we receive it all.
Amen.
He doesn't withhold one thing from you. It's all there to be used by his people, not only by the 12. A lot of people, well, this was, there was 120 of them there in that upper room, and they were all filled. It was not reserved for the preachers. It wasn't reserved for the leaders. It wasn't reserved for this one or that one, and it's not reserved yet this day. It's free. It's free to all who will accept the power of the Holy Spirit. Woo! Now you say you're getting Pentecostal. Yes, I am. Because that's what it says. That's where it was. Yes. The power of the Holy Spirit. Well, what happened there? He said that as they were sitting there, he said there was a sound, a noise, as a mighty rushing wind. Well, I've never been in a tornado, but they tell me that in a tornado that it sounds like a freight train coming. And someone witnessed the fact that it sounded like 100 freight trains coming. And it made so much noise that it was just scary, you know. This sound of the rushing wind, it was there. This sound came upon them as a mighty rushing wind. It was there for what purpose? Not to blow away anything, not to destroy anything, but it was there for one purpose, folks, to get their attention. It was there. Remember when Elijah was in the cave? You remember that? When he was in the cave and there come the storm and all this and that and the other and the fire and the wind and all this, that and the other thing, but God wasn't there. But God got his attention. You know? That's what we need today. We need God to get our attention, first of all, that we will understand where we are. Well, this mighty rushing wind come, and then he said there was fire came down. Fire, as of fire. Cloven tongue. Yes, cloven. Meaning it come down and spread all the way around. It touched every one of those 120 people. Everyone got their dose of the Holy Spirit. Have you got your dose of the Holy Spirit yet? You know, sometimes we get food, we're kind of, well, we can be easily deceived. You ask anybody if you want to, how are you okay? Oh yes, I'm just fine. Yes, I'm just fine. Are you? Is it all right with you? Yes, I'm just fine. My pappy built that church up there. My grandpa was in that church long before my daddy was in that church heard Nelda talk about so much about her mother and dad being in the church and the founders of it, praise the Lord for it, but they won't get you to heaven.
It's on the right.
Yes. Yes. The power of the Holy Spirit. We can be deceived. We can think, well, yes, I'm all right. I'm saved. I'm all this. I'm just fine. But if you have never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, be careful. Because you're walking on thin ice. Yes. When we bow at the altar and we say, ask Christ to come into our life, we get it all. What we do with it is another story. These people were assembled together here in this upper room, 120 of them. And they was from all over the place. There were so many different nationalities and what have you, but they all spoke a different language. Every one of them had spoken. Where did they come from? Where did all these languages come from? Well, you remember back in the Old Testament when they got to thinking they were something, they kind of puffed up a little bit, and they said, we're going to build us a tower to heaven. We're going to build us a tower that will reach all the way to heaven. We can climb up there and be with God. Well, yeah, we'd try to, wouldn't we?
Yeah. If someone down here building, look up there and said, boy, that'd be nice. Or we can shoot that rocket up in the air. I don't care how many rockets they shoot in the air, they're not going to make it to heaven on a rocket. Not going to make it. But they built this tower up there, and they got up there, and they got so puffed up, and they had forgotten all about God. They was on their own. They were working for works of themselves and thinking they're going to get to heaven by their own works, make it on their own into heaven. Well, God's seen what they're doing, and he said, fellas, this ain't going to work. So he confused the whole peoples that one of them didn't know what the other one was. They all talked the same language when they started. Yes. They all did. They all understood one another. But he confused them all that one didn't know what the other one was saying. He got them all mixed up and he made them so mixed up that the whole work fell down. It was finished. It was done. Scattered them all over the country. And as they scattered here, there, and everywhere, they had their own language. They lived in a different world. When one talked to the other, he knew what he was talking about. You know, I had the privilege of being over on Okinawa for a couple of years. And some of the peoples over there, you know, they talk this language, and I might have picked up a word or two here or there, but I couldn't talk to them. I could not talk to those people and communicate with them. Well, that's just not exactly true either. See? Because as I was going down, we talked about going down to the village, and there's certain parts of it that, you know, you wasn't supposed to go into because it was a bit dangerous there. But me? Yeah, I went. I went. And there's a family down there, a man and his wife, and they had a little boy there. And that little boy, I'll tell you what, he just stole my heart. He was such a sweet little guy, you know. And I would get down there, and I knew what he was saying, but I talked to him, you know, and this, that, and the other thing. And I made friends with that little fellow. I made friends with that little guy to the fact that he watched for me to come. I'll never forget one night I went down there, it was a little later than usual. And I went in, and they said that he was asleep. He was in bed. What did they do? They went and got him. Yeah, they went and got him. They woke him up. They brought him out for me to play with, we'll say. But he didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know what he was saying. I didn't know what their mother was saying. But we were talking to each other because we had a language that goes past all of these different languages. It is God's language of love. God's language of love will go beyond anything else that you could think of. In that room, in that upper room, they all spoke different languages. But they said, we're amazed. How come it is
that we all understand in our own language. They couldn't figure it out. Why they could not? Because God bridged that gap. He bridged that gap just as He bridged that gap between me and that little fella. Yes. He will bridge that gap in communication. You may be choosing someday. You may be in a position that you'll talk to someone that you have no idea what they're saying. But God will bridge that gap, and that universal language of love will prevail. You will communicate, and the necessities that comes up, you will, you'll solve them. All these problems, you will go beyond that basic language, and you'll take care of it. Believe me, you will. Because God's universal language of love precedes everything else. It does. Yes. There's people today that will use these scriptures to confuse you. They'll use these scriptures to cause chaos in churches. I am not here to tell you that there isn't an unknown tongue. I'm not here to tell you that because I know there is. This unknown tongue is exactly what I'm talking about here. And it is that a tongue that would go on. I have seen people get up in churches around where I have been. We talked about this earlier in Sunday school. And really just put on a show. And what happened? And when they got done, they had that whole place so mixed up and in turmoil to a point that you just as well have got up and clicked the lights off and went on home. Because the cold water had been thrown on the whole place. I also have been in churches when someone would get up and speak in a language that I did not understand, but it raised the spirit in that church to a point that people were shouting and praising the Lord. You see the difference? If God's in it, it is good. If you're on your own, look out. You're headed for judgment. Yes. This language that they were speaking of in that upper room was a joining. It was a combining. It was a language that was bringing people together universally to one love for Jesus Christ. Yes. And it's still good to this day. Yet that power that came upon that upper room, the power of the Holy Ghost, is that working power that each and every one of us depends upon every day. If we don't depend upon the power of the Holy Ghost to carry us, to lead us, to use us, to get us out of trouble when we get in there, and all these things, if we don't allow that in our life, we're just fooling ourselves. And believe me, there are so many people today that are just blowing smoke. Yes, the fire is not there. Oh, I get in trouble, probably. Folks, I remember the very night when I sit in the pews in the little old Chum Run church, not the one that you're familiar with, but the one that is now my garage, my building. It was a United Brethren church. And I can remember sitting in that pew with Florence, and we had just moved to the community not very long ago. But I can remember sitting in that pew, and I can remember that little old preacher preaching up there. And I can remember how God touched me, how He put me under such conviction, and probably if you look at that seat, you probably see my fingerprints in it. Resisting God. Yes. Resisting God. I knew right then, you either give your life to Jesus or you're going to die. Maybe not physically dead, but spiritually dead. I knew it. Well, folks, let me tell you. I stood as long as I could. I sat there about just about as long as I could. And she didn't even know what was happening. Nobody else did. But they was all praying for Larry. Yeah, they was. So I finally, just give up. I can't fight it anymore. I just give up. And I got up out of my seat and I made my way to the altar. Yeah. And when I did, things happened that I wasn't ready for. Yeah. I didn't realize what went with it, you know. I do that. But let me tell you, when the power of the Holy Spirit come on the scene, it lit me up from the top to the bottom. It went from one end to the other just like those tongues of fire that went through me. Yes, went through me, and it changed my life forever. Yes. Didn't have all the answers. No way. Didn't know where I was headed. Ain't no way. But I do know that Jesus Christ came upon the scene and the power of the Holy Spirit was on me. The same exact power of the Holy Spirit you can have. If you have never witnessed, if you have never experienced this power of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's time you did. Yes. Then you will see that they can take a boy that's so bashful that he wouldn't stand up before his class in high school and say much. They can take him out and he can put him with the uptown church. with one of them big uptown churches there in Clarksburg to preach the gospel. Yeah. He can do that. He'll do it for, he did it for me. He'll do it for you. I don't know what's ahead for this lad. I have no idea. It looked to me like it's about over. But then again, I was talking to a guy the other night, and he's about the same age I was. And I said, isn't it amazing that you wait till you're 75 years old to start to work? Yes. Point is this, folks. If you haven't received Jesus Christ and his full power of the Holy Spirit, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. It's that power in your life that can give you strength far beyond your own power. Like the day that I lifted, a 500-pound motorcycle off of my son's leg. Yes. Had no idea. Had no idea what I was doing, but done it through the power of Christ. I've read so many stories of people that have done things that were just completely beyond our understanding. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, these things happen. You can have this power if you want it. If you have never experienced it, I invite you to receive the full load that Christ has for you. Yes, he says, John the Baptist baptized unto repentance. He did. He baptized those people that came to him there in the River Jordan. He dipped them under the water and he brought them back out for repentance only. Meaning that they had set themselves in a position that were ready to receive whatever God had for them. They had not received it, but they were in a position ready to receive that which God had. Then, at that day of Pentecost, when the power came upon them, when the Holy Spirit was delivered, sent back for all who had accepted it, they accepted it. You may be, and I pray not, between John's baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You may be right there. I don't know. But let me tell you, if you're between there, you are most miserable. Until we can say, Lord, take me. Take me, all of me. Use me. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Whew, what a relief. Then you'll find that to what God has for you to do, you can do it. But if you're trying to build a tower to heaven, it won't work. It won't work. Only Jesus Christ can supply the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We praise you, God, for just sending us Jesus Christ and all the power, Lord, that he brought to us freely as a gift. Lord, through his precious blood, he paid the price for me. And God, I pray that each and every one of us has heard this message this morning, Lord, and have examined ourselves and looked and found exactly, Lord, where we stand. We ask you, God, just to search our hearts. Convict us where we need it. Help us, Lord, in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, we ask you. Amen.